podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Fire for them, fire for them. If you're looking for that 35 bag umbrella and all damn thing there, keep it locked with the Tsunomics podcast.
Yo, what's going on? You're now locked in or listening to the Tsunomics podcast. I hope you've had a great week so far. I know the train and the national rail strikes are pamming some of you, but boy, it's a necessary evil, man. I'm on their side, but we're going to find out about that further on in the pod. But firstly, episode 260, I believe, was regarding why is the pound down so bad? Exchange rates matter to all of you. So make sure you check out that pod. What is an exchange rate? How the pound has differed compared to some of the most popular currencies and travel destination currencies, and why this is happening, the impact the Bank of England have on this, and how does it impact us? How, with what's happened to the pound, how is it impacting our holiday? How is it impacting our businesses? How is it impacting our shopping experiences, even ordering stuff from Amazon and online? So make sure you check that episode out. That's episode 260. Now, this week's episode, 261, I believe, don't quote me on that, I'm going to talk about our country being in the mud this week, right? In the last 7 days. And that's with regards to transport. Honestly, I don't understand how this guy, Grant Shapps, Transport Secretary, is still in the job. It's all kicking off, yeah? We've had delays at airports for ages, but for the last 2-3 weeks, but it got really rough this weekend at Heathrow, which impacted me. So if you want to find out how I ended up on holiday, on a cruise, with no luggage, continue to listen. So we're going to talk about that, and we're also going to get into the rail strikes. We're going to get into that in the second half of the pod. But firstly, we're going to talk about my L, which has been shared by hundreds of other people.
Hi, it's MXM, and listen to the Dysonomics podcast because it's lit. It's lit.
Yo, people, Dysonomics podcast you're listening to, and boy, oh boy, have I got gist for you. I'm sure by now you've seen the images of what they call Baggage Mountain, with just hundreds of baggages outside Heathrow. Hundreds of baggages. You've seen talks of delays and cancellations of flights. And you know when you see stuff, you just never think it'll be you. Like, I've flown, not bad times, but I've flown quite a bit. Probably more than most, right? I've never had my luggage lost. And people have always spoken about it. I remember going to Ghana. I was using Air Maroc for the first time because I got my flights late. And people talk about, oh, they're loose luggage. I was hearing the same thing about when I flew to Ghana this most recently. My luggage was never lost. And it's so mad because one of my brethren, shout out Aji and her birthday as well, she lost her luggage when she flew to Ghana in 2021. But she had air tags, so she knew when it arrived at the airport before the airline even called her. And I was going to get air tags, but I didn't remember to. And I regret it, right? So let me set the scene. Boom. Yeah? So what? Saturday, June 18th. My flight is at 1:10. Yeah? Flight is from London Heathrow to Miami via Virgin Atlantic. 1:10 at London Heathrow Terminal 2. No, Terminal 3, tell a lie. Right? I gets to London Heathrow at 11:26 to be exact. Right? So I'm there almost 2 hours early, right? I like to always get there around 2 hours early. The only reason why we didn't get there 2 hours early, just over 2 hours early, is because the Uber driver or the Bolt driver decided to take a next route, which really annoyed me, which added an extra 20 minutes on our journey. But Bolt gave me a little £30 off the next trip because I complained, because you know what I mean? I'm in that Karen stage of life, right? Once you get past the ages of 23, you start to complain to the authorities about stuff. All right, cool, boom. So, bear in mind, I told you, I've got there damn near 2 hours early, right? So, obviously, I'm queuing to check in. Mothers, right? So, do you know what the queue to check in is like? It goes around like a snake, right? We were in the first row, but right at the back, right? So, still several people ahead of us to check in. This is an hour and 25 minutes later. To the point where somebody from Virgin Atlantic said, anybody flying to Miami, she has to take us and other people in the queue flying to Miami out of the queue and put us in the front because we're about to miss our flight. That's how long the queue delays were. It was insane. And Ben, I've never experienced anything like this. I'm all, the latest I've been to the airport is 2 hours early. I'm always there 2 hours early, and I never been in danger of missing a flight after being there so early, right? So for anyone listening now, make sure, in my opinion, I'll get to my airport 3 hours early. Really, what else are you doing at home? Get there 3 hours early. It's not that deep. Yeah? Cool. And it's mad because I was hungry as shit. So flipping hungry. I was thinking, I'm here and they got Nando's here. I was like, okay, cool. I want to go into Rolex, maybe see what they've got, build a relationship, maybe grab one next year, blah, blah, blah. I want to check out the shops and get some snacks for the plane, da, 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 da. I was like, I had big plans for my duty-free, do you know what I mean, calling before you fly out. Nah. Even security, we had to be expedited to rush through security, bro. Anyway, let's get back to checking in, yeah? So, boom. Yeah? I'm clocking away. The conveyor belt for luggage is not moving. Do you get it? I'm thinking, sure, you didn't even weigh my baggage. They're like, yeah, the conveyor belt, this malfunction is not working. So, I'm seeing, they told me to put my suitcase to, like, the left of me, yeah? And it was just a random pile of hella luggages. And then there was these gentlemen in high vises, like, labelling up all the luggages. My partner was like, nah, this is not right. We're going to get our bags. The guy said, no, you'll definitely get your bags, We're gonna put them on the plane, but your plane was probably going to be delayed because we have to take them all there. I was like, okay, cool. I can't lie, it looked very, very chaotic. Right, boom. We've rushed through security, eventually get there, and by the time we get to the gate, everybody's boarding, right? Cool. We've boarded. Best believe our flight was delayed by an hour or 20 minutes. Jarring. Cool. Flight delayed by an hour 20 minutes, right? I'm assuming this flight was delayed because it's taking them time to load up all our luggages. So we're on a Virgin Atlantic. I want to find out exactly how many people are on these flights. So what? Anywhere between 400 and 500 passengers? And my flight was pretty packed for the most part, right? There's a few empty seats in premium, but for the most part, it was pretty much fully packed, right? All right, boom. So what? Our flight's delayed by about 90 minutes. We get to Miami around half past seven. We're meant to get to Miami just after five, so we're like 2 hours behind. Cool. Boom. Come off the plane. Oh, thank God I'm off it. Do you know what I mean? Let's just get our bags and be moving. Do you get it? We come and we find, to our amazement, only 30 luggages. Only 30 luggages made it. 30. Bearing in mind, there was easily over 350 people on that flight. Minimum 300, but I believe more. So you're talking about less than 10% of the luggages. Absolute disgrace. And this never happened to me before. I'm like, rah, I've got no drip. But the people at the airport, they were like, don't worry, the next flight that's coming tomorrow will have your stuff. Guaranteed. Same time, just come to the airport, boom, boom, boom. I'm like, big man, this time tomorrow, I'm going to be on my way to Jamaica. I'm in a cruise. Do you get it? He's like, okay, no, that's calm. Drop your details. We will make sure it gets to your, whatever you're stopping at first. Where's the first port you're stopping? I said, okay, our first port's going to be Ocho Rios on the 21st or something. So bear in mind, this is the 19th, right? On the 21st. No, the 18th. I arrived on the 18th. So he's going to get there on the 21st. He's like, yeah, boom, boom, boom. So he gives me this sheet of paper and some information paper, and then he's filling out details. Okay, cool, what's your address? I gave him the address of our hotel where we're temporarily staying, gave him the details of the cruise, the name of the cruise, the ship we're on, where it's going to. He took down my what do you call it, of course, my name, the pass, my baggage number, and also the flight number, right? Cool, boom, give this. I said, when you get on the ship, give this to them, make sure you get this, give this to them so they can contact us. Cool, boom. Obviously, we're pissed off, right? Obviously, we had hand luggages. Sure, she had like a few bits, not that much. Like, she had bare tops, but, like, no real bottoms. Would you get it? Like, two, like, shortings and a pair of leggings. That's it. But she had, like, a lot of tops. Me, I just had trainers. In my hand luggage was trainers. And luckily, I think my last batch of laundry, there's a few boxes, so it was slapped in there. Right? Like, I had one perfume with me. Carlisle by Perfumes Damani, very nice, with me. And I think she had like three in hand luggage. She had a couple bits of makeup as well, right? Me, I didn't have my main perfumes. I didn't have body cream, sponge, hair cream, perfumes, all my t-shirts, my shirts, my shorts, my swimming trunks, my combats, my smart trousers, right? Now that, all I had on with me, cause why'd I fly? I had a t-shirt, I had my essentials joggers, and I had a pair, luckily, I was wearing my essential shorts the day before, or maybe that morning, I can't remember. And I think I just took it out and I just threw it on top of my suitcase and she put it in my hand luggage. Otherwise, I wouldn't have had them pair of shorts. That's the only drip man had, right? So boom, so obviously we've landed now, touchdown in Miami. So now I'm just trying to find some local shops where I could get a few bits and pieces. So I think I found a shop that was open. I just got like a couple bits of Miami Dolphins gear, that's the NFL team. So there's like a vest and a t-shirt, like a training top. And I got just a plain white tee in it. So okay, cool, I'm not gonna spend bare money. They're reimbursing me, but anyway, I'll hold it down, this should hold me down for a couple days to the 21st, then my drip comes, and then it's a go, you know what I mean? We've been gonna get them wavy shots in Jamaica and in Cayman and Mexico and Miami, it's gonna be vibes. Cool. No flipping way. Cool, boom. 19th has arrived, that's the day we depart for the cruise. Yeah, go to the port, boom, boom, boom. Yeah? Get on the ship eventually. Mal telling me they've never seen them documents. They don't understand. Nobody knows. And they're like, you need a claimant number. They didn't give me a claimant number. And when I searched on Twitter, dozens of people were in the same boat. And I know way more people were in the same boat, but they may not use Twitter. They may have said it on their Facebook or to their friends or family, right? What happened is the numbers that Virgin provided, you couldn't get any option you clicked on the baggage number. Doesn't lead you to speak to somebody. Every option points out you to go into the Tracer website. Well, the Tracer website is completely irrelevant if you have not been given a reference number, which majority of people didn't. And also, it points you to a WhatsApp number, a global WhatsApp number, and a text number, and an email address. When you message those services, I'm gonna tell you the exact response you get. Because I got this when I messaged via email. I got this when I messaged via WhatsApp. Let me read it. Let me type in virtual. Hello, thank you for taking your time to contact us. We're sorry to advise that due to significant baggage and system failures at Heathrow Terminal 3 on Friday 17th and Saturday 18th of June, we are unable to respond to inbound contact at this time. We have all our available resources focused on reuniting our customers with their baggage as quickly as possible. We'll proactively contact you once we have an update. You can also view updates at http://worldtracer.aerial/blah blah blah. Thank you for your patience and understanding whilst we work through these operational issues. Big man, I need the flipping reference number so I can use this tracer. Do you get it? Like, and it took me talking to them on Twitter, sending several messages to them on Twitter. Then eventually, I got an email giving me details of my tracking. And now when I clicked it, it still said, oh, it's we're still trying to trace it. And even the details down, they even got the wrong details on my bag. They said it was black. The bag was not black. Do you get it? Anyway, boom. The 21st arrives, yeah? We touch down Jamaica. Hometown. You see me? I go downstairs to the guest services, right? And they're like, yeah, we're going to send our guy, one of our colleagues, to go to the ports and then go to the airport to find out if there's any luggage, because we have some people from American Airlines waiting for luggage. Cool. They came back and said nothing for Virgin, nothing at all. So they just sold me a drink, right? And it's now very evident that for the duration of my cruise, I'm going to have no clothes. And every person I've spoken to about it, their mouths have been wide open. Bro, like, I'm just on the deck in Yeezy foam slides and just t-shirt and shorts. Like, we can't even go to, like, any of the dinners at night because we don't have dinner attire. I can't rock up to there in shorts and a vest. Don't make no sense. Absolute travesty. And what I'm hearing is that they talk about as a system malfunction. I'm hearing that Heathrow just turned them off because there was not enough staff to work the conveyor belts, which makes sense from Heathrow's perspective. It's true. That's electricity. We pay for the premises. That's barely, it's a waste of time having conveyor belts whizzing around and then nobody's there. There's a serious staff shortage. Serious staff shortage. And when I was looking at who was I listening to? I think I was listening to the chief exec of Ryanair. And he's like, listen, don't let the government gas you. This is a Brexit issue, right? Obviously, during the pandemic, we lost staff, but we can't recruit anybody to do somebody's baggage claim jobs because British people don't want to do them. And these jobs were fulfilled by foreign imports. The way Brexit's patterned up the labour market is very rigid. It cannot react to exogenous shocks like this. And obviously, remember, we lost a lot of staff due to pandemic, right? Capacity went down. But now we're back in the summer holidays, and obviously you know, in this period when COVID isn't really hitting the same, right? For like, bro, I didn't have to take a COVID test to go to America. I'm not gonna have to take a COVID test to leave the country. Nothing. It's getting a bit easier now. So now there's a ramping up in traffic, in air traffic and of passengers, more people taking flights, and they don't have the staff to meet it. And this is a tragic issue. A tragic, and just another case of Brexit kicking us in the bum. And what can the airlines really do? If they ain't got a staff, they ain't got a flipping staff, bro. That's just the long and short of the matter. If people in a country don't want to do jobs, what can they actually do? But it's just an absolute shag for passengers. Maybe it could be more foresight. But from my experience, yeah, It just looked like a lack of planning and just panic station. You can't, bro, I literally saw my luggage with other people's luggage just dashed aside. And we've seen images of hundreds of luggages. What can you do about that? And now they're going to have to go through every single case and try to deliver luggages to people. And this happened to people all over from Britain who I'm seeing on Twitter, people in who landed in JFK and other areas where they're like, is day 3 or 4, our luggage ain't come. I've seen some people's luggage has been delivered, but boy, apparently my luggage is still in Miami according to the people on the cruise. But when I look online, it doesn't say so. I hope it's still in Miami, but boy, the letter I'm going to write them, yeah, not even compensation will do, bro. They might have to give man a whole plane. But yeah, man, that's messed up. And I feel like if you are listening to this pod right now and you've got a flight through Heathrow, make sure you get there early. Make sure you pack relevant-ish in your hang luggage. Don't get caught lacking like I did. And yeah, I can see this being an issue continues going forward. I know the airline companies can do their very best because it's peak out there for them. So let's read some. Okay, let's get away from the story and let's read some. Give you lots of information. So Heathrow had to ask airlines flying from Terminal 2 and 3 on Monday the 20th. Of June to cancel 10% of their flights due to the mountain problem of baggage handling, right? And that's obviously impacted, 15,000 passengers across 90 flights? Like, bare departures were getting grounded. Virgin cancelled 3 flights, yeah? Pagans. This has impacted Aegean to Athens, Aer Lingus to Dublin, Air France to Paris, Air India to Ahmedabad, Eurowings to Cologne, ITA to Rome, KLM to Amsterdam, Lufthansa to Frankfurt, SES to Copenhagen, Swiss to Zurich, TAP Portugal to Lisbon, right? Baggage mountain was crazy. I'm sure you've seen the pictures already. They said on Friday, that's when the complex baggage system started to fail, which then went to failure onto Saturday, allegedly. I can't lie, I sooner believe the story that Heathrow just turned off. Because, bro, how many years? Technology's getting better and all of a sudden, 2-day baggage failure. Get out of here, man. Now, the interesting thing is that the cancellations that people have been experiencing, and I've heard people have 3 flights cancelled, is regarded as an extraordinary circumstance, meaning that passengers are not entitled to cash compensation from airlines, but airlines must get travellers to their destinations as soon as possible, even if it means paying for them to fly on an ops airline. Of course, hotels and meals are also provided. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to hear none about, it's extraordinary circumstances. Bro, if I'm in a car, right? If I'm an Uber on the way there, and then a bridge just falls and cars, like, it collapses on the road, that's an extraordinary circumstance. If I miss my flight, they're not giving me a brand new flight. Definitely not easy anyway. It's not going to happen. This is nothing to do with the passenger. If you paid money to fly via EasyJet to Rome at 4 p.m. on a Saturday, that is, you should be able to fly to Rome at 4 p.m. And if you don't, due to no fault of your own, EasyJet are going to have to hold that. Because you didn't pay to fly on Sunday at 1 p.m. If you wanted to, you'd have done that in the first place. That's like me going to Tesco, buying a Lucozade, and then, you can't get, a Lucozade, I must drink Rabina instead. Big man, who told you I went to Rabina? If I went to Rabina, I would have picked up myself. Ludicrous. Anyway, enough about that. Let's move on to the strikes. Okay. RMT, who's RMT? National Union of Rail, Maritime and Transport Workers. Right, that's RMT. And they have decided to go strike. And what's interesting is that this government, these conservatives are dastardly. I'm sure you lot remember me talking about, or you might have seen it on Twitter or on the news, that over the last 2 years, Preeti Patel has imposed like new laws that kind of make it harder to protest and gives powers to like punish people for protest. It seems like the Tories have the spirit of like stopping people like fighting for their rights, right? So I say this because there's a Trade Union Act in 2016 which effectively made it more difficult for trade unions to strike. So here are some of the key points that was imposed in this act passed by the Tories in 2016. Probably under David Cameron. Yeah, it was March, so that was before Brexit when he resigned. So under David Cameron, we need 50% turnout required. So if there's 100,000 people in a trade union, at least 50,000 people have to turn up to vote. If not, the results are not legally valid. Workers whose role mostly concerns the delivery of important public service, when it's this type of stuff, there has to be a 40% support threshold amongst all eligible workers, as well as a 50% turnout. Now, what does this mean? Let me give you an example. Yeah. Trade union, 100,000 people, right? If 100,000 workers are eligible to vote, then at least 50,000 have to turn out to vote. And out of the 50,000 that vote, 40,000 of them must vote in favor. So they're making it more difficult to reach your numbers to strike. Also, unions now have to give 2 weeks notice when they're going to take industrial action instead of 1 week's notice like before. And this gives employers more time to prepare, which is obviously going to make the strikes less impactful. Now, in this instance, with RMT, 89% of members voted in favour of action. So this is a huge mandate. 9 out of 10 voted to strike. And this is so interesting because the Trade Union Act of 2016 imposed by the Tories was to make these decisions more difficult, but it didn't matter anyway. That's how grave the circumstances is. What I do not like is the propaganda that's been spewed left, right and centre ever since it's been announced. You've got BBC News, you've got politicians, you've got Sky News, so many people demonising these workers. And they're doing this by simple tactics such as bringing up the pay of these drivers, and then sob stories like, people are missing out on this, people are missing out. News flash, for protests to be effective, they're going to have to make people's lives difficult. Because if it wasn't making people's lives difficult, it won't work enough by the first place. Because they say, okay, cool. You want to do this? Okay, it doesn't bother me. Keep doing it. I ain't changing my opinion. And the ability to protest, to strike, is part of democracy. So people who live in the same country where we all acknowledge the cost of living crisis, who are taking the side of the government, this pathetic, incompetent government, and the employers who are earning bucket loads, right, are taking absolute piss. Because surely you yourself would like the opportunity to have better working conditions and better pay, especially in a time of economic downturn. Now, let's get into the nitty-gritty about the strikes. Because of the rubbish privatisation and patchwork of our national railway system, the strike actually involves several different companies. And because it involves several different companies, there's different challenges, which means there's different demands. But here's like a kind of brief summary of the key demands, right? They talk about pay, pensions, and working conditions. Things like being made to work longer shifts, 12-hour shifts, yeah? And obviously, this is, especially if you're trained, that's a quite a solitary job, right? Their rest days are being stripped away, and they've inputted the bare minimum amount of time in terms of rest period between shifts, and that's leaving a lot of workers being fatigued. Right? That's not good. That's not good. That's not good working conditions. The government offers a severely below inflation pay rise of 2%, with an added 1% if it accompanies job cuts. So when you've got inflation, the last month figures was 7%. Yeah? When you got inflation with that number, 9%, sorry. That's what I meant before. The last figures of 9%. How could you offer man a 2% inflation, but it could be 3% if we cut some of your colleagues' jobs? Get out of here. RMT are saying we're looking at 7% minimum. Bearing in mind, this is even before inflation even hits a young 11%. Like, we don't know it could hit that level. RMT also believe that 2,500 jobs are at risk of being skied, yeah? And they're tired of being exploited by their bosses on big six figure wages while they're out here grafting in relatively poor working conditions and not being adequately compensated for it. What's cheeky is that the government, these people were still working during the pandemic, yeah, when it was dangerous to work. And the government legit called them heroes, and now this is how they're doing them. They keep the country moving every single day. You want to make job cuts. And when you make job cuts, it's going to be harder for the safety of passengers because there's less people to govern. And also it's going to be harder on the current staff members because they're going to have to work longer hours. It's the same thing as NHS. The NHS is a system that is based on exploitation. Is making the staff you have stretched to the absolute maximum, even beyond their maximum, even beyond healthy, operating on the cheap. The government have allegedly refused to meet them, man, and Grant Shapps has kind of confirmed that, really and truly, and all they do is keep threatening them with job losses. Most people who work in this trade union earn between 25 and 31k. So yeah, you're going to see the newspapers talk about 40k, 50k, 60k, these certain jobs, and yeah, some people do get paid that, but the majority don't. And then just because they do get paid that, does that mean that their working conditions are good? Does that mean that their pay reflects the work they put in? No. And also, the majority of them haven't had a pay rise in 2 to 3 years. They've been trying to negotiate a pattern with the employers and the government for 2 years. So what happened then? 21st of June, 40,000 RMT members at Network Rail and 13 operators walked out. So along with tube strikes in the capital, right? They've already said, "Listen, this could be a hot summer, fam. We could keep this shit going." Boris, on the other hand, is saying that the cabinet should be prepared to stay the course as they want to press ahead of the rail reform. So Boris is like not budging, but this might be a situation where these men might be forced into another U-turn. Like as Boris, after Partygate, after effectively being in the equivalent of being impeached, yeah, having a vote of no confidence run against you, you're going to risk a summer in the UK with more train strikes, fuel prices going up and the madness happening at airlines. That's what I don't understand, Grant Shapps. I don't understand them. Speaking of, he believed, that's the Transport Secretary, he believes it's up to the unions and operators to pattern things up and he should not be involved. Whereas the union and Labour think you should be involved. You're the flipping Transport Secretary. What are you talking about? Tories are also threatening to change the law allowing agency workers to step up for striking staff, and Grant Shapps says that could come in months. That's just so undemocratic and evil because then it takes away their power to negotiate. Labour are moving a bit dodgy because they're saying they're basically, yeah, they're on the side of the strikers, of the workers, but because a lot of people are also sad at the disruption, they're kind of playing both sides. Example of this is the Shadow Treasury Minister, Pat McFadden, urging colleagues not to join the protest. So yeah, man, listen, I'm sure you guessed it by now, but I'm fully on the side of RMT. I believe more people should join trade unions, more trade unions should strike, more trade unions to force these companies to give you more money, especially when there's the money actually there to be given to you. Like, come on, we're in the cost of living crisis. Like, why would you not, if you had an opportunity to increase your pay and your working conditions, why should you not do that? Well, it's not jail, come on, man. But yeah, I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. Apologies for the sound. Of course, I'm not in London in my home studio, I'm abroad, but of course I still have to give you a lot of young pod. But yeah, man, on to the weekend. Peace and blessings, man. Stay safe.
Sports Social Podcast Network.